Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. And thanks for listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on the best radio station in the state, 97.9 The Hill, WCHL. This is the radio station, folks, that's going to provide you with all, the radio show that's going to provide you with all kinds of perspectives on what it means to be creative, on what it means to be innovative, on what it means to be adaptive and resilient to all these wonderful creative qualities. I want you to define for yourself what it means to be creative. I have declared to you all that nothing is as important as this. Well, we have a community leader here as a guest today. One of the ways I give you lots of perspectives is with awesome guests, and we've got a great one, Bill Fletcher. As I said, a true and important community leader in the Triangle, and he's going to talk about something that is probably as important as developing, maybe even more important than developing your creative and entrepreneurial qualities. Let me tell you a little bit about Bill. First, he spent 30 years in broadcasting, so he's going to be a great radio guest. You know that because he's got all this broadcasting experience. He's been in advertising. He's built a very successful real estate career at Keller Williams Realty. But now let me talk about that community leadership. He's founded two, not one, but two Boy Scout troops. He served on Wake County's school board for 18 years. He has brought his Rotary Club into a really important program that's all about improving childhood literacy. He's going to talk all about his commitment to helping children read. He founded a program. He founded a new nonprofit, NC Reads, a nonprofit that's dedicated to creating reading fluency in all of our children by the time they reach third grade. So here we are, Bill. Anything you want to add to that introduction? Thanks so much for being here.
I'm glad most of that is true. I'm happy to be here, Carl.
Well, thank you. Bill and I have known each other for a while through a mutual friend, a great man. I mean, we could do a whole radio show about how much we love Steve Mattingly, couldn't we?
We could.
So thank you, Steve, for bringing Bill and I back together again. As I said in the introduction, Bill, I tell people on this show and in my workshops that nothing is as important as developing your creative qualities. But here we are. I'm ready to be challenged. I think I might be wrong. Certainly developing a wonderful proficiency in reading with children is as important.
Carl, it is an essential component of our quality of life as a community, of having rational government, of being able to make decisions as a community. Reading is the gateway to employment opportunity. So it is fundamental. And what saddens me at the moment is that here in North Carolina, less than 50% of our third graders are reading at what is a third grade reading level.
Wow.
Less than 50%. I saw the number yesterday. 46.5% of all of our third graders across the state, urban, rural, doesn't matter, 46% are reading at grade level. And that's just not – that's unconscionable. We need to do something about it. And that's why I started NC Reads. After 18 years on the school board, I have great – appreciation for what our teachers do and for what the school administrators do. And you talk about creativity, what a teacher has to do. For example, you've got a new kindergarten class, all right? There are three of those students who are reading at the second grade level. Right. There are three of those students who've never seen a book. At least two of them aren't potty trained. Probably three of them are non-native English speakers. And probably half the class doesn't have a nuclear family. And that's what it walks in, that's what a teacher walks into on the first day of school. And she has to be creative in how to leverage the creativity of her students,
yep,
leverage the creativity of herself or himself to find ways to engage these children at where they are.
Yes.
And to help them grow to be everything they can be.
With limited resources.
And limited resources, and I call, I'm really, The issue is there are not enough hands in the classroom, particularly at these young young ages, to deal with all this diversity.
Right.
And the wonderful diversity that comes into our classroom. School is a creative world. It may be a lot of solid rubrics and texts and historical practices, but the abundance of creative energy in the classroom is palpable
and exciting.
Yeah, very much so.
So exciting. Well, when I am on my kick about, hey, we need to become the most creative nation, and so of course I must somehow think about how creativity in the classroom should be handled. And what I always say is, that ain't going to be a problem. The classroom's already filled with a bunch of creative teachers. You know, if anybody's successfully teaching right now, it's because they have a wonderful ability to do what they can with what they have, which is a wonderful, creative, resilient, adaptive skill.
Well, and the children are creative.
Yep.
And the youngest children have very few filters. Very few filters. And they'll tell you what's true. They'll tell you something about their parents that their parents might wish they didn't. But that the kids, if we were able to have a structured environment where the kids could just be themselves, as opposed to having a structure close in on them over time, there are myriad stories of kids who've painted a picture of the sky and it's not blue, and the teacher asks why, and the child says, well, I didn't see a blue sky. I wanted it to do a gray sky.
Nice.
And the good teacher will compliment that.
Yep.
And the not so good teacher will say, well, next time make it blue. Yeah.
I love the story of a little girl. It was about that age that you're talking about, time for the students to all be drawing. The kids are all drawing. And Susie is over her paper, and she's really, you can tell, passionately working on what she's drawing. And the teacher comes by and says, hey, Susie, what are you working on? She said, well, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher says, well, nobody knows what God looks like. Susie, you can't draw a picture. She said, that's because they haven't seen my picture yet.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So NC Reads, we're going to talk a lot about NC Reads. We got just a few seconds to set it up here in this segment, and then we'll spend the second segment really going into it. So you founded NC Reads how long ago?
2 years ago.
Okay.
And the first year we really spent doing research, secondary research. And what we found is that the children who are not reading at grade level in third grade did not come to school prepared to be successful in kindergarten. Okay, well, why might that be? Well, now let's go back into the earliest years of a child's life, their home life, their parents or parent or caregiver. We have many grandparents and aunts and uncles who are the primary caregiver of children because the parents are working.
Yes.
So what can we do, not to shame anybody, but to encourage them and to give them the tools that they need in order to help the brains of the youngest children grow so they can find that creative spirit in themselves?
Outstanding.
So here's the question.
Well, let's get to ask the question, then we'll answer.
When does learning start?
When does learning start, folks? That's a great way to end the segment, Bill. Thank you. And we'll answer that question when we come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first segment of the show, you met Bill Fletcher, a community leader in the Triangle area, and his most recent endeavor is NC Reads to help children become fluent by the time that they're in third grade. And we ended the segment with Bill asking a great question: when does learning start?
Well, that's when in our research we're looking at the parents of the children who wind up not reading at grade level, and they've got all kinds of issues they're dealing with. For the most part, they are financially under-resourced.
Mm-hmm.
which means they may be worrying about where's food coming from? Mm-hmm. Is my housing stable? Do I have transportation? Can I get you a job? If I need medical help, do I have access to it? Just basic fundamental life needs can distract a parent from doing the things they need to do with their child.
Yes.
Now, they may never have had a nurturing parent.
Yes.
Then again, they may want to be a nurturing parent, but they're being distracted by other things. We want to support all of these parents and to nudge them, give them strategies and ideas that they can do with their child given the 15 seconds they have. For example, we'll send a text message, and it will say, while you're changing your baby's diaper, talk about the color of your shirt.
Oh.
And ask the baby, where else in the room do you see this color?
Yeah.
So you got to change the diaper.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but while you're doing that, turning it into a learning experience.
Oh, I love that.
All right. Or you're fixing dinner, you're getting ready to, you're salting water on a stove. Tell your child what you're doing. Narrate it.
Yes.
Put language in the air so your child can hear it. The first sense that's developed by the young child is the sense of hearing. And okay. It actually starts developing while the child is still in the womb.
Okay.
So in the last trimester of life, the hearing is starting to work, and the child is hearing your voice and the voices around you, and they want to hear those voices again when they're born.
Sure.
Now, we have some cultures in our community that bring rich diversity to our community. They also bring traditions from their cultures.
Yes.
And, for example, in the Latino community, there is a tremendous respect for professional teachers. And many, many Latinos have told me, I don't want to mess anything up. The teacher is the professional. Wait till the child gets to school.
Okay.
Too long. It's too late.
Yep, I hear you.
The science is that the child's brain is built. It's the only organ that's not fully built when you're born.
Right.
Your heart is everything it needs. It's there.
Right.
Your lungs, everything
larger,
it needs
but it's
is
complete.
There. But your brain is building, particularly in the first 18 months of life, and it's so critical that parents and caregivers, the caring adults around a child, interact with the child. You know the child can't answer your question, but ask the child a question anyhow.
Right.
Perhaps describe a tree.
Yes.
If you read, read. Cuddle with the child and read to the child. If you don't know how to read, tell stories.
Right.
Walk outside and look at a beautiful tree and describe the tree. This is the bark. This is the branch. This is the leaf.
Tell them stories.
All of the opportunity just to narrate what you do anyhow.
Yes.
Now, that will require that at some point you put the phone down.
Yes, sir.
And instead of looking at TikTok or Facebook or whatever else you might look at using your phone, put the phone down and spend time with the child.
Amen.
I've got a series of ads that we haven't published yet that simply say, talk with me, please. Mom and Dad, put the phone down and talk with me. Tell me stories. Tell me about your day. Ask me about my day.
And you were right to use the word with instead of to.
Let's communicate.
Yes. Talk. Not talk to me. Talk with me.
Talk with me.
Yes.
It's there's some good folks in Chapel Hill at the Frank Porter Graham organization that created what's called the Abecedarian Project. It's now a 44-year-long longitudinal study of the impact of nurturing parents versus non-nurturing parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up these two groups, and they coached one group to do the nurturing, and they left the other group to do what they did. And the lifelong impact of that nurturing in the first 18 months of life shows up in better health, better employment, better family life. It's amazing what happens when the brains get built with a loving, caring adult and to prepare that child to move on into toddlerhood and then on toward preschool. So our objective is to help parents be the champions of literacy for their kids.
Good.
That's it.
Good.
We don't want to insert ourselves. We don't want to insert a government agency. We want the parents to learn how to and to adopt the practice of nurturing their kids every opportunity they have.
And so when you've mentioned this already, that some of these parents are not don't have reading fluency themselves, so I can see how when parents read that it's doable to work with them to help them get their children interested in it. What do you do with the parents who aren't readers themselves?
Well, most of them are able to read our text messages.
Okay.
Our text messages are written in a very simple language. In fact, our text messages we actually get from a nonprofit spent off from Stanford University.
Okay.
And the organization is called Parent Powered. And the texting program that we're using was at one time called Ready for K, which is exactly what we want parents to do. Help your child be ready for K. Let me back up. In Wake County, what is the level of need? In Wake County, there are more than 20,000 children in under-resourced homes, meaning they've got stressed parents, between the ages of 0 and 4.
20,000.
20,000.
Between 0 and 4.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a parade. Next year, there'll be another 5,000 in that group, and then another 5,000 as they move into kindergarten.
Right.
All right. So it's an urgent issue that we get reach all of these parents and have them enrolled in this texting program that's free, that will always be free, that's not asking them to buy anything, not sending them any ad messages, just simply supporting them in how they interact with their children.
Nice.
That's our objective as NC Reads, because learning to read is the foundation for the quality of life, for the health of our society, and for the economic opportunity of all of these children.
Well, folks, I think Bill is making an absolutely persuasive case. I think I was pre-sold, and I certainly am resold now. So we've got.
Am I going to replace creativity as the top thing?
I'm right there.
I'll be willing to take the development of language and reading as the supportive element to creativity.
And it's a creative activity in and of itself.
It absolutely is. Itself.
So we've got one segment left, folks, and Bill's going to come on back and talk to you more about this wonderfully important topic that he knows so well.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This has been a really great show with Bill Fletcher, who is making the case so powerfully and so persuasively that all we can do to help young children read, embrace reading, is so, so, so important for them. Bill believes it so much, he started an organization called NC Reads. He was telling us about NC Reads. Bill, tell us more.
Well, there's a lot more, and I invite people to go to our website, which is ncreads.org.
Oh, good. Easy.
Okay.
ncreads.org.
And there you can find more about the programs, the current program that we're offering, which is our first one, as well as opportunities to communicate with us or make a donation if you would choose to.
Nice.
Our first program is this texting program, which has been proven for years. The research on it suggests that a parent that uses this will see their child advance 2 to 3 months academically toward literacy every year they use it. So if you use it all 5 years of your child's life, they're at least a year ahead of where their peers would be.
And to remind the listeners what these text messages are, they're prompts to do simple things like, hey, you're changing the diaper. Talk about the color of shirt you have on.
And right. Then,
yes.
Very simple things to do. Some of the things are serve and return. Okay. So you ask a question of the child answers back, or the child asks you a question at some point in time. Ball. They might just simply say ball. They want their ball. And you would say, well, this ball has air in it. And we can kick this ball. Do you want to kick this ball or throw this ball? And wrap language around.
Yes.
Follow where the child wants to go.
Yes.
wrap language around what the child is asked about.
Oh, this is wonderful.
And then the immersing children in language, hearing language, and I'm gonna say it needs to be coming from someone, from a caring adult, mm-hmm. from a live person. Just hearing the radio or hearing a cartoon on the phone is not sufficient to build the emotional connection.
That's it right there.
Okay, because we really need to build the social-emotional connection of children too.
Yes.
And that happens automatically when we're embracing the child and saying, let me read this story to you, or let me tell you about this tree, or I had a great day at work today, let me tell you about this person I met.
Nice.
Even though the child will not remember a word you said.
Exactly.
Communicate, talk, envelop them in language.
I love this.
That's how vocabulary is critical to developing fluency. Fluency is critical to developing comprehension. So let's help the teachers when our children get to kindergarten, ready to learn, prepared for success in the structured environment of a kindergarten day.
Nice. One of the qualities I've seen successful, loving teachers of young children bring is a sense of open-endedness, right? Of giving the children an opportunity to step into that open space, not define everything for them.
Right, but right. Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Because they'll fill it. I mean, they'll fill that open-ended space for you, no doubt.
They will.
No doubt, and they'll fill it with
very much so.
With something that often, as you made the point earlier, often you never would have expected them to fill it.
Well, let me suggest this too for the parents of these children. If you notice something that concerns you about your child, there are professionals in our public schools that will help you identify that if there is a developmental delay or some issue, or you've got a particular challenge that you want help with, there are resources in our public schools to help you in all of our counties. Mm-hmm. All right. So reach out to them. And then when your child does come to the kindergarten door, encourage the teacher as well as your child.
Okay.
Encourage the teacher. Say, this is my child. He's brilliant.
Nice.
In fact, in Durham, there's an organization called Black Geniuses.
I've worked a little bit with
okay.
them.
Okay.
I would like
and
to work more
I
with them.
I love that. I love that concept.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All of our children, regardless of their color or their ethnicity or their race, they are brilliant when they're born.
Yep.
And let's help them stay brilliant as we help them prepare to be successful in kindergarten.
Well, that comes, now our two messages are truly overlapping because, again, so much of my work is predicated on a piece of research that showed that 1,600 Project Head Start 5-year-old children scored, 98% of them scored at NASA's creative genius level on a key creativity assessment test, right? So that's who they are. Let's treat them that way.
Absolutely.
Let's nurture that.
There's a dear friend of mine who taught he taught high school math, among other things. He's 93 years old. He is just a joyful person that I get to have breakfast with once a month. And he would start his high school class. He would say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my class. Today, each of you has 100, a perfect score. It's my job to help you keep it.
Oh, yes. I'm crying. That's beautiful.
It's my job to help you keep it.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the attitude that most of our teachers bring to the table.
I love it.
So let's help them, too, while we're encouraging our kids.
Beautiful. Bill, thanks so much for being a guest. Folks, as you may know, I hope you know, I will be posting Bill's interview on the Chapelboro website, chapelboro.com website, on Wednesday. And you will find the website is going to be repeated there, so you can visit, and there'll be other contact information. Thank you very much, Bill.
It's my pleasure, Carl. Thank you for the invitation.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.